Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
They're sending this basic trash over to the U.S. Senate.
Hunter Biden has no knowledge of the accusations against the president.
The decision that I have made for my wife and I to step back is not one I made lightly.
She's orchestrated the Church of Holy Hill.
It's actually, I think, one of those things my father's going to go down for, is letting people see through the BS of media.
Let's go do it, baby.
Let's do it.
6-0-3, 1-2-3.
Hey, how about those Kansas City Chiefs? Good morning to you. Happy Monday. And it is MLK Day. It is a holiday. Places like a ghost town around here. Everybody's off. What are they doing?
Is it normal for all businesses to be off on MLK Day?
I think it's one of those holidays now that pretty much everybody gives people the day off.
Yeah, most of them that I know. I mean, yeah, I work with a lot of businesses. Most people are off today.
Mm, cool.
So good. So happy here we MLK are, day. Though. And Denise Schaefer has the day off. And my friend Brian Feldman from down the hall at KMOX filling in this morning. Brian, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
We appreciate that. That's good stuff. We're going to get to a lot for you today. I got Alex Saltzman coming up with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. She's actually on the ground in Richmond, Virginia this morning for this rally that's going to take place there in support of the Second Amendment, although Governor Blackface down there in Virginia has tried to turn this into something that it's not. And we're going to talk with her more about that coming up. You might have heard the soundbite there from Lindsey Graham talking about the impeachment, that it's a partisan railroad job. He had some kind words to say about Nancy Pelosi this morning. But I did want to point out that we have figured out now what's missing, because we've been wondering, well, if the House had all of this evidence on impeachment, why didn't they show it to us? Well, we had to go back to Adam Schiff to figure out why. Cut 16.
The intelligence community is beginning to withhold documents for Congress on the issue of Ukraine. They appear to be succumbing to pressure from the administration. The NSA in particular is withholding what are potentially relevant documents to our oversight responsibilities on Ukraine, but also withholding documents potentially relevant that the senators might want to see during the trial.
Interesting, Adam Schiff, that now there must be documents we haven't seen. That's why we haven't made our case against the President of the United States. Let's get to our guest, please.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation joining me this morning, as always, on a Monday morning. Hans, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Hey, thanks for working on the holiday. We appreciate you.
Oh, listen, I think I work all the time, so not a big deal.
Yeah, Carafano complains about that, too.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You know, you played that clip from Adam Schiff, and, you know, my reaction to that is, why would anybody believe anything he says? This is the same Adam Schiff, remember, who, when Devin Nunes, more than a year ago, said that the Steele dossier was the basis for the whole FISA investigation, he said, oh, that's a Schiff said that's a complete lie. It's not true. And, of course, the IG report proved that what Nunes was saying a year and a half ago was absolutely 100% correct, and what Adam Schiff was saying was 100% a lie.
Yeah, very. That's a great point, because Nunes was out on front of this early on, in front of the White House, and he was accused of just carrying the president's water and all of this stuff. I remember that scene very clearly. It's interesting to hear Lindsey Graham yesterday talking about this, particularly the fact that he's got a goal through this impeachment. I want to get your reaction to this. Go to cut 11, please.
The one thing he talks to me constantly about is What does the next president do after this if this is successful? He does not want a legitimized attack on the presidency, and that's my number one goal, is to do this trial in a fashion that no House, Republican or Democrat, ever again will do what this House did.
You know, I think it's interesting, Hans, because Alan Dershowitz made that same point yesterday, and clearly he's been picked as a member of the president's legal team who's going to go to the House and fight this. He said this is a threat to the presidency, period, not Democrat or Republican.
Oh, no, he's absolutely right about that. Because, look, what's really going on here is Democrats trying to turn us into a parliamentary system, which we are. And what I mean by that is, as you know, in the British Parliament, if the political parties lose confidence in the prime minister, if they don't like him, they get rid of him. They are able to do that. The impeachment process, that's not what it's for. It's not there so that the party controlling the House of Representatives can get rid of a president who they personally don't like, or whose politics they don't like. That's right. A parliamentary system. We don't have that. Impeachment is only there if a president has engaged in serious misconduct, bribery, treason, high crimes and misdemeanors. They haven't proven that has occurred here. That this, they've been trying to impeach him since what, a week after he was inaugurated.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Pelosi said last week that it's about the allegation, right? Not the evidence. That seems to be what they believe.
Right. Well, listen, it all starts tomorrow. You know, the Senator McConnell is putting up a resolution tomorrow for a vote that will outline how the trial is going to proceed. And I got to say something. You know, Pelosi picked seven managers, and it's very strange looking at the people she chose, because instead of trying to get the best lawyers she could sitting in the House, it's like she had a quota system.
Yes.
For making sure that every kind of gender and race was represented. I mean, so she picked people who weren't even lawyers, who have no experience in any of this. And on the other side, my gosh, you've got a dream team of lawyers. Alan Dershowitz, Ken Starr, the former Whitewater prosecutor, Pam Bondi, the former attorney general of Florida. It's like a professional hockey team up against a bunch of high schoolers.
Yeah, but I guess that doesn't matter to Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader, because he's already said that he's going to force votes on witnesses. I mean, technically he can do that, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, he can certainly try to do it, but the key question is, does he actually have the votes for that? I don't think so. And if he starts doing that, what are the Republicans going to bring in the people Schumer doesn't want to hear from, like Hunter Biden or the guy at the CIA, the secret ally of Adam Schiff, who got all this started?
Yeah, exactly. We haven't heard about the whistleblower recently, but that may come up again this week.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hans,
I wonder, is that CIA guy one of the guys that Schiff is claiming is withholding documents, his ally over there?
Yeah, you got to wonder. Questions to ponder this morning. Hey, listen, have a great Monday, Hans. We appreciate you.
Sure thing. Thanks.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Hans von Spakovsky, H. von Spakovsky on Twitter. And, of course, you can follow him at heritage.org. Hey, we haven't talked much about Kim Gardner today, but there's some new news out that you need to understand about this lawsuit that John Solomon, formerly from The Hill and other newspapers on Capitol Hill, has brought against our circuit attorney. We'll get to that when we come back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to say again what I've said from the beginning. This is a political witch hunt.
Former Governor Greitens there back in the day. I believe that might have been the day that he resigned because of what was going on when he made that comment again. And the reason I bring it up is there's been a lot of speculation on whether or not the former governor might get back in the race or might run again for governor. And I don't know if he will or not, but here's what I'll say about that. You need to understand what really happened in that case, right? Eric Greitens made a horrible marital decision to have an affair, right? That people want to argue that was his downbringing. That was his downfall. That horrible. But all of that had happened, and he had dealt with that with his wife before he even ran, like before this ever broke. As a family, they had dealt with his marital infidelity, moved on. But that was the nugget that his enemies used ultimately to take down his governorship. And there was something that happened last week that didn't get a great deal of coverage, but it's something I want to draw your attention to. John Solomon, a great reporter in Washington, D.C. In fact, he started his own news feed there in Washington. Filed a Sunshine Law violation against Kim Gardner. Kim Gardner, of course, is the one who charged Eric Greitens for this, photo that didn't exist and really threatened to drag him into criminal court. And by the time he ended up resigning, the legal fees were so vast that he threatened bankrupting his family. And that had a lot to do with why he resigned. More than evidence that he had done anything wrong, if you ever find yourself facing the full weight and fury of a government agency, a prosecutor's office, it can bankrupt you. It can. That's where he was going. That's where they were headed had he continued to fight this, right? What did Kim Gardner know, and when did she know it? These are key questions you have to ask yourself in the middle of all of this. So John Solomon went and filed a Freedom of Information request way back in the summer of the year that Governor Greitens resigned, trying to get records on who she'd spoken to in connection with this case, her texts, her emails, and he asked for a list of very specific names, right? She never responded to any of it. She declined to answer his questions. So you have to ask yourself, why would that be? What exactly was her reason? Well, she didn't deny that she had the emails. She didn't deny that she had had contact. Her representative simply responded that it was a closed case, and therefore they didn't have to respond. Interesting. So now, fast forward to today, when John Solomon has filed and asked a judge to go back and force them to provide these names. And you're like, well, that's old news. Who cares about that? Until you look at exactly who he's looking for contact from. That's the fascinating part about this story, and that's what I would like to draw your attention to this morning. Now, bear in mind, whatever happened, allegedly happened in the city of St. Louis, which is why Kim Gardner had the authority to file these charges. So somebody who doesn't live in the city of St. Louis wouldn't really have any connection to this case whatsoever. Either the photograph existed or it didn't, the allegation of the invasion of privacy. The only people that knew the answer to that would have been Eric Greitens and the lady he had the affair with, Katrina Sneed. And those are the only two, right? Police wouldn't touch the case. She had to go get an out-of-state investigator to look into it. Let me tell you who John Solomon wanted record of contacts from with Kim Gardner. You ready? A couple of these won't surprise you. A couple should. Scott Fawn, so-called journalist here in the St. Louis area, runs the Missouri Times. Al Watkins, the attorney to whom the $50,000 payments were just mysteriously dropped off in his office when a Channel 4 team happened to be sitting there. Jeffrey Smith, who runs JES Holdings. Don't know him? I'll tell you more about him in a few minutes. Jeff Smith, who's often a guest on this show, who now represents the Missouri Workforce Housing Association, George Soros, and also Michael Vachon, who is the Soros fund manager of the Safety and Justice PAC, the Open Society Foundation, Scott Simpson, Katrina Sneed, Phil Sneed, State Representative Stacey Newman, and State Representative Jay Barnes. That's an extensive list that Mr. Solomon would like to get his hands on. Any information that Kim Gardner had related with those people, emails, texts, why would she have been talking to Jay Barnes? Well, I don't know. Jay Barnes was running the legislative end of the probe down in Jeff City, where the governor's people were not allowed to have any input over the testimony, and where they did dramatic readings of Katrina Sneed's deposition. Remember that? Stacey Newman, Democratic State Representative Stacey Newman. What did she have to do other than getting Eric Greitens out of office? What did she have to do with this case? George Soros, the Soros fund manager, Michael Vachon, what did they have to do with this case? What's their connection? The big name in the room here is Jeffrey Smith of JES Holdings. You know who Jeffrey Smith is? You don't? JES Holdings, according to the Post-Dispatch reporting in the Kansas City Star, from the late 1980s, when the low-income housing tax credit first became a thing, has probably made more money off of that than any other human being in the state of Missouri. His company made more money off, like, hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially, off of this low-income housing tax credit program since it was instituted. And Jeff Smith runs the Missouri Workforce Housing Association, which lobbies in favor of the low-income housing tax credit. Why would any of those people have had contact with Kim Gardner? Because you can understand why she'd want to keep it quiet if they did. Because they all had one thing in common. They needed Eric Greitens out of office because he single-handedly stopped the low-income housing tax credit. You need to understand what a multi-million dollar effort this was, the low-income housing tax credit. How many people were profiting off this at the expense of taxpayers? Eric Greitens comes in as an outsider and shuts it down. And the next thing you know, he's facing fraudulent, in my opinion, criminal charges run by Kim Gardner in the city of St. Louis. It's going to be fascinating to see what this lawsuit by John Solomon brings. And if we're able to find out if she really was in contact with all of those people who had ulterior motives in this case. Let's get to a break. 314-241-9797. Alex Salzman, who's in Virginia for that gun rally, coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah, that didn't sound like Governor Blackface Northam. Actually, that was Beto O'Rourke. But it might as well have been Governor Northam. Because the situation in Virginia is serious, folks, for those who don't think that. What's happening today in Virginia has totally been warped by the media, by Governor Northam himself, and people who are enemies of the Second Amendment. The whole reason, there's a reason this rally is happening. It's got nothing to do with, you know, the risk of some fringe group that may try to come in and hang around the perimeter of it. They're expecting thousands of people in the Capitol there in Richmond, Virginia today for a rally And I ask our friend Alex Saltzman, who's, of course, with the she's been with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. We've had her on the show for a number of different occasions talking about even concealed carry and other issues here in the state of Missouri. She is in Virginia this morning, and she's joining us live right now to talk more about it. Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for what you're doing there today, first of all.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my duty as a citizen.
Tell us, obviously this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision to travel there to support what's going on. Kind of set the stage for us. What are you expecting to see today?
Well, we're hoping that the projections are correct and we see 100,000 gun owners come out to defend their Second Amendment and voice their opinions today. I can tell you that the rally or the actual event doesn't start for another half hour or so, and there are already thousands of people lining the streets of the Capitol in Virginia this morning.
You know, I know based on the fact that I followed you on Facebook that you met with a lot of these groups last night to kind of talk about what's at stake here. Can you kind of lay that out for us too?
Oh, sure. We've been in town, on the ground, in various organizations, different planning strategy meetings with a couple different organizations. Basically, the strategy is to just stay as safe as possible. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of warning about the rumors that you hear about the agitators and whatnot, but they're hoping to move as many people through the Capitol as possible to meet with their representation to try to smash this gun control before it gets any further.
That's really what it's about, is a show of force to drive home to these legislators that the, you know, some of the law enforcement officials and stuff throughout the state of Virginia who stood up and said, I'm not going to follow this. They're not outliers.
Oh, absolutely not. So all over the state of Virginia, people swelled their municipality events to the tune of hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people would show up to these county meetings demanding that their city, that their county, be a gun sanctuary area because of these proposals that are coming out of their capital in Richmond.
Well, you know, I mean, we're fortunate in Missouri to have a Republican governor and a Republican legislature. In Virginia, they just turned this thing blue last November, and it didn't take them but, what, 3 or 4 days into the new session before they're trying to restrict your ability to buy a handgun or a long gun or magazine capacity, all of these things that the left wants to put into place.
Oh, absolutely. The very first thing they did was drive their state right over the crazy cliff. You know, and the things that are getting everybody the most riled up are the universal background checks, the striking the preemption language out of their code. They're trying to do red flags. They've got a one gun a month purchase policy that they're trying to implement. And we're here on the ground because we want everyone to know that, yeah, Democrats got control and they decided to do all this at once, and everybody in the world is watching. But Republican governors all over the state, all over the country, are doing these exact same, proposing these exact same pieces of legislation. And if you're in a Republican-controlled state, chances are you're not rallying by the hundreds of thousands to get rid of these bills.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here pointing out today.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I noticed that that one of the ladies who's, I believe, a state senator there in Virginia spoke to a group yesterday. And, Alex, she's pointing out the truth about this is that this governor there, who probably shouldn't even still be governor, if he was a Republican, they would have run him out of office on a rail. He's trying to twist this to make it seem like the threat is coming from people like you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what they always do. It's always the law-abiding gun owners that need to be stopped and need to be restricted in their gun rights. You know, but if we have to consider, if he was a Republican, would they put him out on the rail? I mean, Massachusetts had the Republican governor that did it. Illinois, Indiana, Florida, Maryland, Vermont, all Republican governors all passed these same exact gun control schemes. And Republicans in Iowa or Ohio, Arkansas, Pennsylvania, they've all pushing it right now. So it can absolutely happen in a red state if we're not careful.
What are the security what are the security precautions they've taken there this morning? Because they want to scare everybody and act like this is going to be another Charlottesville.
Well, you know, the media, the talking points that are coming out of the Capitol, they seem...
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Scary, but law enforcement has been wonderful. You know, they're the good guys. We're all here peacefully. Nobody's had any kind of issues so far. There are a lot of barricades, a lot of fences. You know, apparently all of a sudden Democrats love the wall. So we're dealing with the wall. But other than that, everything is fine. I mean, there's a lot of precaution, and I'm sure I don't see all of it. But everyone here is, you know, everyone here armed, at least, is good guys with guns. So I don't feel worried.
Yeah, that is a great point, and I appreciate it. Well, listen, Alex Saltzman, we appreciate your on-the-scene report there this morning, and thank you for standing up for the Second Amendment.
Amen. Thank you for having me and giving me a little bit of time to tell everybody.
Absolutely. We will talk to you again soon. Alex, of course, is with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. You can go to their website at MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org. Whenever there's an issue like this that pops up in Missouri, I think last year they were trying to loosen these restrictions on so-called gun-free zones, where you can carry your gun as a licensed concealed carry holder. They wanted to do away with a lot of these because there's so many restrictions, and you know, you've basically got a target-rich environment when you have that no gun sign on the door of the Edward Jones Dome, for example, or somewhere like, they don't call it that anymore, but the dome. You know what I'm talking about. They wanted to loosen that up. Alex was down there with her group fighting in favor of common sense legislation like that, and you've got this Michael Bloomberg supported Moms Demand Action group in town by the hundreds of people they bust in who don't even live in Missouri to try to argue against common sense things like that. So Virginia is a great example of what's going to happen, America, if the left gets in charge. Did you hear talk about the preemption? That's one of the laws they passed, was to take away preemption. Do you know what stopped Lyda Crewson, when she was an alderwoman, from instituting her own, which she didn't even fully understand, but instituting her own so-called assault weapons ban in the city of St. Louis? Preemption. Preemption says the city of St. Louis cannot pass a law more strict than what we have at the state level. On Virginia, they're going to jettison that, so all of the crazies who control some of the bigger towns in Virginia, particularly up in the northern part of Virginia, closer to D.C., can enact all of the restrictive gun laws they want in the face of your Second Amendment rights. That's one of the things that people are pushing back about in the state of Virginia today. I just want to explain that to you a little bit better. I'll get to a break here. 314-241-9797. Rodney Boyd coming up here in just a few minutes. And Jesse Jane Duff at about 8:10. We'll be right back.
Once Meg and I were married, we were excited. We were hopeful, and we were here to serve. For those reasons, it brings me great sadness that it has come to this. The decision that I have made for my wife and I to step back is not one I made lightly. It was so many months of talks after so many years of challenges. And I know I haven't always gotten it right, but as far as this goes, there really was no other option.
The despicable little woman that I simply cannot stand.
I think that's how Katie Hopkins truly feels about
Meghan.
Yoko Markle. That's what I'm starting to call her.
Okay.
I'm not calling her by the first name anymore.
You're falling against her now.
She is the Yoko Ono of the British royal family. Don't you think? That's kind of how I look at it. Went in and broke up the band. That's exactly what she did.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with her or what they're doing.
Feldman, you got any thoughts on this?
I've never understood why there's such a fascination with this. My wife just eats all this up, and I'm like, I don't get it.
I don't care. I really don't. And the only reason we ran that bite, we talked about this last week, is because it's the first time really we've heard from Harry. After being browbeaten into abandoning his family by his new bride.
There are so many things that are out there to talk about that actually affect us.
That matters.
How does this affect us?
I know. I'm just old. I've just become cynical in my adult years here because while my daughter, who's 24, is looking at this all starry-eyed and it's so sweet and this is what his wife wanted and he's leaving his family for love. That's the story that they've bought. I don't buy it for a minute. I mean, you married into this. It's like joining the Marine Corps and getting in basic training and being shocked that you're being asked to run 5 miles with a 100-pound pack on your back. You knew what you were getting in for before you joined. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
there was no surprise. That's it.
You don't think there's anything, because he actually mentions his mom too. You don't think there's anything to that?
Like let's listen to that. Where does Prince Harry say that about his mom?
When I lost my mom 23 years ago, you took me under your wing. You looked out for me for so long, but the media is a powerful force. And my hope is one day our collective support for each other can be more powerful, because this is so much bigger than just us.
So he was angry at the media because they picked up on stories that were coming out of the royal family about Meghan's attitude. I think that's what he was referring to there.
I think that he's been talking about the... Yeah, he was. No,
yeah, well, he was.
Well, he's been talking about the media from the beginning about how critical they have been of her since... But I mean, before they were even married. And although she knew what she was marrying into, so did he. I mean, they've been in a relationship for a long time. It's not like she was just like, I don't know. I don't think it's fair to put it all on her. Okay. I think it was a decision he made. I think it's interesting how I feel like it's interesting that Americans are obsessed with him, first of all, because we broke away for a reason. And it's interesting to me that you are not more comfortable with them leaving the royal family, given it's the royal family in the UK and they want to like freedom and capitalism.
Freedom.
Isn't that what you wanted?
That's what Brian was thinking when you said that. I knew exactly he was thinking Braveheart the minute you said that.
Absolutely. Freedom.
And it was the British royals that had their throat on William Wallace's throat, their foot on his throat. You know that, right?
I think it's ironic how everybody's turned around and now they're, I can't believe they're abandoning the royals. Well, we did the same thing.
Oh, I haven't cared about him since about 1789, personally. I just think it's fed the whole world. Like, Brian, I brought this up the other day, last week. I had no real interest in covering this story, except to point out for the fact that on the day of the impeachment inquiry, right, and the day, like a day or two later when they bombed the Iraqi base after Soleimani was killed, the lead story on CBS This Morning was the bombing, and the second story was it Trump's fault that the plane got shot down in Iran because he started this whole thing, and the third story was Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. Like, the third most important story in America that morning was this story.
Now, I'm not an expert on news judgment, but that's an interesting transition.
It is. It
from
is.
Iran to the royal family.
Yeah, I don't. That was
imagine
my,
as an anchor transitioning from one story to the next.
I know.
In international news.
In international, yeah.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. Gosh, goodness.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, our obsession as a country with those people is insane to me. I just live and let live. I don't think she's this evil. I don't know. He was never going to be king.
Did you watch The Crown? Was that the name of that series?
I haven't.
Did you peripherally watch any of it?
I have not yet. No. I've heard really good things, but I really want to. It's on my list.
It was fascinating for the first few episodes. My wife and I started watching it, and then it got a little boring. I was fascinated. It showed how the queen came to be queen, because her uncle abdicated, her dad took over, he then died, she became queen. But beyond that, it all got a little boring after that, I would have to say. I'm done. I'm done with it. You ought to hear Katie Hopkins go off on. If you don't follow her on Twitter, that's what you need to do today, at KT Hopkins on Twitter. Just listen to her rant. The Brits are offended by what's going on over there. I'm just telling you. They really are. All right, coming up, we will check in with Rod the Bod, Rodney Boyd, at about 7:10. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.